Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we've been looking at a series from the Christmas narratives in which we've seen again and again angelic visitations, and as a vital part of the message each time, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Joseph was told that by the angel that visited him. Zechariah was told that when the angel visited him. Mary was told that when the visitation from Gabriel came. And now we see in Luke chapter 2 the very familiar words from verses 1 through 20. This is God's word. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The angel encounter we're focused on today is that of the angel meeting the shepherds. The shepherds were not the societal creme de la creme. I think if I were advising God on how to introduce his son to the world, I would have thought it very appropriate to have an announcement. And you want to get the right people there. You want to be sure to present this to people who are movers and shakers, who are influential. Influencers is the new term. We used to say influential people. Now we say they are societal influencers. Influential was better. But these are the people who make it happen. These are the people who know everybody. These are the people who are credible. If they say so, then people take it seriously. None of the shepherds would be on that list. Shepherds as a group didn't just have a humble job, they were not well regarded for their honesty. They were not well regarded in any regard in society. Jesus will call himself later the Good Shepherd, because Jesus came to associate with people who are not in the social register. Jesus came for the sake of people who know they need saving. And that is really good news. And so, you have at the beginning of chapter 2 a list of the who's who, the people who should have gotten an announcement. Caesar Augustus, Quirinius at least, governor of Syria. But they didn't get the announcement. They were simply pawns on the chessboard whom God used in order to put everything in place, because God is that kind of God. He is sovereign, and he works all things together in order to accomplish his plan for his glory and for the good of those who trust him and love him.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. I actually enjoy buying gifts for my wife and children. And that's good, because I've got 7 children. I give gifts to my 8 grandchildren and to my staff as well. And at this time of year, I make some special gifts to several ministries that I believe are doing a good job sharing the gospel. Well, I'd be grateful if you would make a special year-end gift to Abiding in Christ like I do. Use the mail. Give online if you'd like at pastorwood.org, or call 866-41-ABIDE. But please, let us hear from you before the year is out. Thanks so much.
So, beginning in chapter 8, we have the record of what happens when the shepherds were just out doing their job. They were just doing what they did every night. They were living out in the fields, verse 8, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They weren't doing something special. They weren't seeking God. They weren't having an all-night prayer meeting. They were just doing their job. And in the midst of the ordinary, in the midst of the routine, God breaks in with this angelic visit, and the angel terrifies them with the glory of God. When they saw the glory of God, they didn't say, oh, this is beautiful. Oh, I feel tingly all over. This is so neat. They were terrified. When God shows up, it is often a scary thing. We've said that in each of these Sundays as we've looked at the passage. Don't think that just because God is doing something, it ought to be comfortable for you. I have heard, until it makes me nauseous, about what a gentleman God is. I think I must be reading a different book. Because the way they define gentlemen is the idea that God would never do anything that would put people off. You know, he understands each of us, and he wants us all to feel cozy. And so if this is what makes you comfortable, God is not going to insist on his own way. He's going to just let you do your thing, and that's, you know, that's good. And then I read the scriptures, and I find earthquakes and hailstones and all kinds of things that don't seem very gentlemanly to me. Almost as if God tells us again and again and again, I am Yahweh. There is no other God. Bow before me. One of the reasons why the church in this country is so anemic is because we're a bunch of idolaters worshiping a God that we're more comfortable with. God is God. He is the Lord. He is to be feared. And this sovereign God makes an appearance not in person, but just one of his messengers. An angel appears, a messenger. And that messenger so displays the glory of God that a glimpse of God's glory associated with one of his messengers is terrifying to a group of men. They didn't see him and say, come on, guys, look how many there are of us, and there's just one of him. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night back in the Old Testament. So I don't think we want to try and count noses here and decide who can handle who. When they saw the glory of God and they saw his messenger, they were terrified. And therefore, this is a marvelous, astounding, healing word from the angel when the angel says, do not be afraid. That's good news. Even though this is a terrifying thing, I don't have to be terrified. I don't have to be afraid because this isn't just some mysterious light. This is the glory of God. And God has sent a messenger with good news of great joy. The angel spoke against their fear, and God speaks against fear today in this place for those who are his. I bring you good news of great joy, not just banishing fear and saying, don't be afraid, but saying, don't be afraid, here's why. They're not just to try and get rid of the fear. It is perfect love that casts out fear. And it is good news of great joy that is going to totally change their perspective. This is good news. This is good news of great joy. When we talk about the gospel, sharing the gospel, that's the word that's used here when it says good news. This is gospel of great joy. Let me ask you a question. Have you so believed the gospel that it has become for you a source of great joy? Do you so trust in him that you know you don't have to be afraid anymore? There's something the matter with people who aren't excited and say they're Christians. I mean, this is really good news. This is good news of great joy. I am thrilled because whatever else is going on in life, I'm not saying Christians don't have problems. We do have problems. We got more problems than we know. But the fact of the matter is none of our problems can hold a candle to the good news of great joy. And when we understand that, it changes everything. The message that they heard, the good news, is all about Jesus. Take a look at it. The angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What is that news? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. God has sent a Savior, Christ the Lord. The very name Jesus means Yahweh rescues. The Lord saves. That's what his name means. It wasn't a new name invented and people said, Yeshua, I've never heard that before. No, Joshua in the Old Testament had the same name. The difference is all the other Joshuas were unable to really deliver the way that Jesus would. Jesus is the Yeshua, the one through whom God rescues his people. And the way he does it is by offering his own life there as the perfect sacrifice. Because all of us have sinned. We needed someone not just to show us a good role model. We needed someone who would die in our place to be the sacrificial lamb because all of us have sinned. Now, there were a lot of people in Jesus' day who did not accept him. He perfectly displayed the glory of God. He worked miracles beyond what we have recorded in Scripture. John tells us that if everything he did was recorded, all the signs and wonders that he did, they were all recorded. He said, I don't think the world could contain the books. But Jesus, having displayed the glory of God and healed so many people and delivered so many people and done so many miraculous things, this Jesus was rejected by multitudes of people who regarded themselves as not all that bad. They didn't believe that they needed that kind of Savior. They wanted someone to fix their circumstances. They wanted someone to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. Someone who would lower taxes. Someone who would restore national pride. But as far as their own sinful behavior, they felt okay about themselves. People who have that attitude are not ready for the Savior. Because Jesus came to save us from our sins. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we will never receive salvation by declassifying our sins. So that, well, we're going to legalize that. We're going to make that okay. We're going to decide this is not such a bad thing. My pride is really not a problem. It's hard to be humble around ordinary people. You know? Let me tell you, it's sin. Pride and selfishness and greed, it's sin. And if we just say, oh, no, it's not because, you know, that's your Uncle Harry. He's just that way. No. Uncle Harry needs to repent. Somebody needs to tell him the gospel. But you see, unless Harry is convicted by the Holy Spirit and recognizes the sinfulness of his sin, he's not going to realize how desperately he needs the Savior. And so we need to pray that God will do what it takes to break Uncle Harry's heart and bring him to the point of repentance. The shepherds heard the good news. And the good news was all about Jesus, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Please don't miss that. He's not just the Savior. He didn't just die so that we could be forgiven. He is Lord. He is the anointed King that God has installed on Zion, his holy hill. Read Psalm 2 and get the message. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in the way. Because the fact of the matter is, if you think you can receive forgiveness but refuse to yield your life to him and do what his word tells us, you are sadly mistaken. You cannot have Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. And that false gospel, tragically, has been preached throughout this country and around the world by people who, however well-intentioned, have completely departed from what the Scripture says. Because you must receive Jesus in order to be saved. And you can't just take part of him. We must receive him as Savior and Lord. You will not fully understand all the implications of either of those terms when you are first born again. but you better not think that you can reject him and his lordship and cling to him as your Savior. He does not offer that package. So, the shepherds, having heard the good news, model for us the right response to the gospel. First of all, they heard it. There are some people who sit in church week after week, even multiple times a week, and never hear the gospel. It never penetrates. It never sinks in. They still think they're pretty good and that God is fortunate to have them on the team. They've never gotten the good news, which is for sinners. These folks heard the gospel. And they believed it. Look at the response of the shepherds. They said, verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They said, it's happened. Let's go see it. God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. They believed. They heard it, they believed, and therefore they obeyed. They obeyed. They went. They did what they'd been told they were to do. They went to Bethlehem and they found something that was extraordinary. Jesus wasn't wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, as was often the custom among poor people of that time. No. In the whole city, there was only going to be one family that was like this. They obeyed. They went. They found the child. And their experience verified and gave evidence to the truth of God's word. I want to ask you a question, honestly. Does your experience give testimony to the truthfulness of God's word? Because as we yield our lives to him, he will always demonstrate the truthfulness of his word in our lives. And these folks, having obeyed and experienced the reality of what God said, became evangelists, spreading the good news. They went out from that place, and look at what they did. Verse 17, when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They didn't just say, we saw an angel, and then we saw a baby. They said, this child is the Savior. God has sent the Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. That's the message that you and I must proclaim. If you're here this morning and you've never really yielded your life to Jesus, I plead with you, do it now. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about tinsel. It's not about toys, whether they're big toys or small toys. It's about forgiveness and a new relationship with Jesus, who is Christ the Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.